Shalom, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ICEJ webinar brought to you live here from Jerusalem. I'm Jürgen Bühler, the president of the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem, and I want to talk today to you about a very specific holiday that is taking place every year in the month of December. And I'm not talking about Christmas. Of course, we Christians, we celebrate the days of 24th of December and after the birth of Yeshua here in the land of Israel. But I'm speaking about the celebration of the holiday of Hanukkah, a Jewish festival. Some people say that it's an extra biblical festival, a festival that is not mentioned in the Bible. And this is true only to a certain degree, because the festival of Hanukkah, it actually is a festival that is being spoken a lot about in the Bible, not so much about describing the events of Hanukkah. They are described in the apocryphal writings and the books of Maccabees. But what I'm talking about is the prophetic words that the prophet Daniel is uttering about the times that were fulfilled in great detail and exactness during the holiday of Hanukkah. We also know that the Gospel of John is telling us that Yeshua himself was in Jerusalem at the time of Hanukkah. It's called he was in Jerusalem at the time of the dedication of the temple, the festival of dedication. And this exactly was the celebration of Hanukkah, as it was commemorating the rededication of the temple back in the times of what is called the Maccabees, a Jewish tribe or Jewish family that liberated the Jewish people during the Greek oppression from a very ungodly and unlawful regime that was governing Israel. Now, I'm speaking about Hanukkah because not only that it's a very interesting festival, but also it has great significance for us today as Christians. In a way, it is a prophetic light for the times which we are living in, or which are coming even ahead of us. And I want to talk in particular today about the coming of the Antichrist. Now, you might be surprised that this is a coincidence, or that this coincides with the celebration of Hanukkah. But as we will see in a few moments, the arrival of an ungodly man during the time of Hanukkah, his name was Antiochus IV, or Epiphanias. He was a prefigure, a pre-manifestation, you could call, of what the New Testament later on calls the man of lawlessness, or like the Gospel of John, the Epistle of John calls it, the Antichrist. I want to read to you a number of scriptures before we delve a little bit deeper into the subject. Number one, 1 John chapter 4, the first Epistle of John chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 3. And the Apostle John here, it's one of the latest epistles that was written in the Bible, the latest books of the Bible, one of the latest books. And he says, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. I want to take your attention to this last half sentence. The spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard, was coming and now is in the world already. Now, what this passage tells us is that the Antichrist, we will see it later on in another passage, it is not just a personification of evil, but it is a spirit that is manifesting itself in a society, a anti-Christian spirit, a lawless spirit, a spirit that goes against the God, the God of the Bible, the things of the Word of God, the values of the Bible, against the commandments of God. And he wants to deceive in particular the church to follow him in this wicked way. Now, this was 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. I want to take you to another passage in the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, the second epistle of Paul to the church in Thessaloniki. And let me read you quite a longer section here from this second chapter. It says, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is being revealed." The man of lawlessness, usually referred to as the Antichrist, even though it's not explicitly named like that in that passage. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against any so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you those things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with the power of false signs and wonders, and with a wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and to be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And here again, the Apostle Paul says something very similar than we have been reading from the Apostle John, who says this spirit of lawlessness, the spirit of the Antichrist, is already operating today, can be seen in societies today. Paul says, in a way, the very same thing. He says that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And I believe there is a clear agreement among many believers today that we do see this mystery at work today, as our societies, in particular in Western countries, are moving away from the biblical truth and from biblical values. Now, what this passage is describing to us, it's quite interesting. He says, this so-called man of lawlessness. Now, it's quite interesting that the New Testament is again and again warning the church that the end times will be a time of lawlessness. That means people will move away from the commandments of God, and they will not care anymore what the Word of God is teaching us in certain matters. And he is a man of lawlessness, going against the laws. And then it says he will take his seat in the temple of God. Now, we will see in a second how much that is related to the festival of Hanukkah. By now you have been wondering, well, dear Jürgen, what has this all to do with the festival of Hanukkah? But let us all go to the book of Daniel, the prophet of Daniel, and let us read a number of passages, a number of verses from the book of Daniel. I want to read Daniel chapter 11, and I believe this will put all those scriptures that we have been reading together and will bring them together and will make greater sense to all of us. "At the time appointed," I'm reading from Daniel chapter 11, verse 29. Daniel chapter 11, verse 29. "At the time appointed, he," I will say a few comments about that later on, who that he is, who he is. "At the time appointed, he shall return and come into the south, But it shall not be this time as it was before, for ships of Kittim shall come against him, and he shall be afraid and withdraw, and he shall turn back and be enraged and take action against the Holy Covenant. Note of that, he will take action against the Holy Covenant. He shall turn back and pay attention to those who forsake the Holy Covenant. Forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and fortress, and they shall take away the regular burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. Now, some of you who know the end time teachings of Yeshua, of Jesus, he's referred to that. He says the abomination of desolation will be set up in the temple in Jerusalem. And those of you who know this prophecy from Daniel, take heed. And he was speaking about also the future destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And so he will set up this abomination that makes desolate. And let me pause here for a moment to give you a historic perspective of what we have been just reading. The Middle East at that time was under the Greek control since around the year 330. It was the time when Alexander the Great was conquering the region, a young man. He became king of the Greek Empire at the age of 20. And he became one of the greatest warlords or generals in history, expanding the Greek Empire from Macedonia to Crete, all the way of what is today Turkey. And he moved his empire all the way to the Hindu Kush Mountains in Asia and all the way to India, to the Indus River. Now, this is a huge, huge territory. Everything that was in between was under his control. Egypt, Iran, Persia, the nation of Israel even. And all those countries were under the rule of Alexander the Great. And it's quite fascinating. At the beginning of Daniel chapter 11, there is a prophecy about him, that this great man, this strong man who will move out to conquer, that he will die without posterity, and that his great kingdom will be divided in four parts. The interesting thing about Alexander the Great, he in a young age conquered the world. He died in a young age, just around 13 years after he became king. And he died in Babylon. People speculate what was the disease that he was dying of. But he had no children who could take over the rule at that time. So the empire was falling apart and divided among the four main generals. Now, what is relevant for us in history today is that one of the generals, his name was Cassander, he was taking over the area of what is Greece today, and he carried on the Greek legacy. And then there were two other generals that are important for us in regard to this prophecy here. Daniel 11 speaks repeatedly about the king of the north and the king of the south. Now, the king of the south was one of the generals who took over Egypt from the country that Alexander was conquering. His name was Seleucus, and he was governing Egypt, and this is referred to here in this prophecy as the king of the south. And then there was another king, and his name was called Ptolemy, and his descendants, they took over the name of Antioch the fourth, which I spoke here is the one which it is referred to. And he is referred to here in this passage as the king of the south. So the king of Egypt, Seleucus, he was the king of the south, and the king of the north, he was governing the area of most of the part of Minor Asia, of everything that goes all the way to Iran, even Afghanistan, a gigantic part of land. But the border that was a constant area of conflict was right running through Israel. And this land, Israel, was going back and forth under control between the king of the south and the king of the north. And it's written here that the king of the north came into the south, that is verse 29. And this is reported again by historians. It was taking place in the year 161 when Antioch the IV was going into Egypt. And he wanted to, again to have a successful campaign against Egypt. And it says at this time he was withdrawing without success. So it wasn't a successful military campaign because the ships of Kittim were coming to stop him. It's quite interesting. Romans, the historian says that ships from Rome were coming and they stopped Antioch from conquering and from fighting against the Seleucid kingdom in the country of Egypt. And he had to return very angrily to his own territory. And that's exactly what is written here. He shall be returning, be enraged, verse 30, and then he will take action against the Holy Covenant. He shall turn back, he says, and pay attention to those who forsake the Holy Covenant, and forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and fortress, and they shall take away the regular burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. Now, the book of Maccabees, Josephus, the Jewish historian, and also other historical writings of that time, they testify what was taking place at that time when Antiochus the IV, Epiphanias was his name, the enlightened one, was coming back to the land of Israel. He came returned from an unsuccessful campaign from Egypt, as we have seen, wanted to return back to his headquarters, which was somewhere in the old Babylonian Empire. And on the way back, he passed through Israel, and it says, and he took attention of the people of the covenant, in particular of those who were forsaking the covenant. And then it says what he was doing. Quite a number of things are described here. He will take away the regular burnt offering. Now, what was the regular burnt offering? This is what is described in the book of Leviticus, the regular morning and evening sacrifices that were brought in the temple in Jerusalem. And also, of course, all the regular sacrifices and the festivals that were being brought in. He stopped that. He made sure that there will be no regular way of communicating with God anymore, no regular line of atonement, no regular way of talking to God in the temple anymore. He interrupted that. And then secondly, he says he will set up in Jerusalem the abomination that makes desolate. He was setting up an altar to Zeus. And one historian writes us that he was even himself being worshipped as a Greek god, as he was coming into the temple, and he desecrated in a great way. And what was the greatest desecration and the greatest abomination that was taking place in the temple in Jerusalem at that time? That they worshipped those strange gods, the Greek gods, with the sacrifice of pigs, of swine that were sacrificed in the temple. It was probably one of the darkest parts of the Jewish history since the time the Jewish people entered into the land of Canaan. They just rebuilt 150 and 200 years earlier the temple in Jerusalem, and now it was desecrated in the most despicable way in Jerusalem. And not only that, the writers of history, Josephus, and also the book of Maccabees, says that the reading of the Torah, the law, was forbidden, and he was burning many Torah scrolls in Jerusalem. Now, I want you to remember back what we have been reading in the second book of Thessalonians. This is exactly what Paul was writing. It says, a man like that will come again in history before Jesus Christ will return, before the day of the Lord will appear, will come. And he says he will do the following. He will sit himself in the temple. He wants to be worshipped as God, and he is also called the man of lawlessness, like Epiphanias, who burned the Torah scrolls, the law, who forbade them to read the Torah and the laws of God, and turned them into a people that was falling away from their God. So in the way, the same power will be revealed in the last days. And I want to encourage you very, first of all here today, to study in particular the 11th chapter of Daniel. Now let me make one comment about the authenticity of that chapter. Many people and many modern commentaries in particular today, they write, well, the book of Daniel in particular, those prophecies about the Greek kingdoms, it was written after they happened, because if you read Daniel chapter 11 in particular, you will see how in great detail Daniel was predicting the times that would come after Alexander the Great was dying, how the temple, how the empire was being divided, how one king after the other came, north against south, south against north, and then of course the events around Antiochus the Fourth, which became a symbol of the Antichrist. They say it's impossible to know history in such a great way. And they said, well, most likely they were written in the year 150 before Christ, or later after the events have been taking place. Now, a very recent story in the Jerusalem Post was revealing to us that a new dating was being done by a number of universities on the book of Daniel. And they based their dating on two lines. They said the dating until now from the oldest texts that are being revealed to us from the Qumran scrolls, they have been polluted by oil that was being used at that time to make the Qumran scrolls a little bit more readable for the researchers. So the dating of those scrolls, of the C14 dating, so some of you might know what that means, was spoiled by that castor oil that was that the scrolls were exposed to. And then also they did an AI analysis of the text that was written there, and the AI text analysis of the book of Daniel revealed that the book of Daniel was written earliest in the second or third century before Christ. That means even around 150 years before the events were taking place. Now the Bible tells us that Daniel was living around in the year 450 before Christ. That would bring it to around 300 years before the events were taking place. So we have with Daniel 11 one of the most amazing prophetic passages in the Bible that described history unfolding in a way that is in great detail, that is absolute unparalleled. And he describes those events regarding Antiochus the Fourth, regarding this man, that the man of lawlessness that set himself in the temple. Now I want to make a few comments for us in closing, what that all means for us. Number one, Antiochus the Fourth, he went against the people of the covenant, and he had one thing in mind. He wanted to impose Greek culture, globalized culture in a way you could call it today. He wanted to impose globalized culture, you could call it in a way, upon the Jewish people. So you need to become like all the other nations around who adopted the Greek gods, who adopted Greek culture. We want you to stop with your fundamentalist religion that is, has laws that are not coinciding with the values and the laws of the Greek Empire. And I believe many of you are reminded on what is taking place today. And what was taking place? They burned the Torah scrolls. They were forbidding to read the Bible. And what Paul is writing, which is quite interesting, in a 2 Thessalonians, what this man of lawlessness, this man of wickedness will do at the end. He says, here, let me read that to you. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs of wonder, and which are with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Now, the one thing that was taking place is that that is taking place here, and when the Antichrist will come, he will go against people who have given up the love for the truth. People who have given up the love for the truth. You could put it also in a way, people who have given up the love for the Word of God. People who have given up the recognition and acceptance as the centrality of the Word of God, both Old and New Testament, for Christian doctrine today. People who relativize the Scriptures. It's quite interesting that this is taking place even today among many believers. Many times when I preach in churches around the world, I do ask people, how many of you have read through the entire Word of God, the Bible, Old and New Testament, from the beginning to the end, at least once in your lifetime? And I'm always embarrassed and shocked at the same time to see that only a small minority in every church bothers to read the entire Bible. And I want to encourage you here today, as I bring this word to you, ask the Lord to give you a fresh love for the Word of God. Ask the Lord to equip you with a passion for the Word of God, that it will be a main thing in your daily routine, where you say, I'm studying and I'm reading the Word of God, and that we are feeding upon the Word of God that He gave to us. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the Word of God is living and that it is sharper than a two-edged sword. The great Bible teacher Derek Prince once said, it's not us so much who is reading the Bible, but the Bible is reading you. And I guarantee you, as you start reading the Bible and as you start spending your time more and more with the Word of God, you will experience the power of the Word of God, that it will change you, it will transform you more and more into the image of Christ, because the Word of God is powerful. The one thing that Satan hates in our times are believers who are studying and who know and understand the Word of God. Now, it's quite interesting in the book of Daniel. If we are reading in Daniel chapter 11, verse 10, it says, when the abomination that makes desolate was put in the temple, it says here, he shall use with flattery those who violate the covenant. That means the people who are backsliding, or like Paul says, who have forsaken the love of the truth. But then he says, but the people who know their God, they shall stand firm and take action. I like how the King James Version is putting that. King James translates it in the following way. It says, but the people who know God shall carry out great exploits. And that means in these last days, even when the Antichrist will rise, even when everything is getting darker around us, there will be people who know God. Now, let me ask you, how can you know God? And I want to suggest to you the first and foremost way how to know God is to study His Word, is to read about Him in His Word, to spend time with Him in His Word. That's how you get to know God. That's how you know that He is a covenant-keeping God. That's how you know that He is a God who will never leave you nor forsake you. That's how you know that He is a God who is holy, and He expects us to be holy in the same way. That's how you know that He is a God who never forsakes His promises that He gave to His children. You read all that in the Word of God. That's why we need to study that. It's our essential lifetime for the last days, to know God, to know His Word. And then He says, if we do so, we will be equipped to carry out great exploits in those last days. And there are people who are too pessimistic for the last days. They say it will be a time of darkness. It will be a time of defeat. The Word of God says, if you know God, if the truth is in you, if the Word of God is living in your heart, you will be somebody who carries out great exploits for the kingdom of God. And may the Lord give you the grace to do so. Now, secondly, the other thing that the Antichrist was doing, and I call him with that name, Antiochus, the fourth or Epiphanias in the temple. He was removing, taking away the regular burnt offering in the temple. He was taking away the regular burnt offering in the temple. Now, let me ask you today, how is your prayer life doing? Is the altar in your personal life, is there a constant flame, is there a constant incense that is pleasing to God arising from that altar? I was talking the other day to a group of lawmakers and Christian leaders in the Knesset, and I spoke to them about Daniel, the prophet, who wrote this very prophecy. He said, like in the times today, when people are following God and when they are standing up for their conviction, all hell broke loose against him. They looked for all kinds of accusations in the past, in the present, what he was doing wrong in the way how he's maybe leading his financing, maybe his family life. They were searching for every possible mistake because they wanted to bring down Daniel, because he was a man who was fearing God, who was walking according to the commandments of God. The book of Daniel tells us in chapter 6 that the only thing they could find against Daniel wasn't some misbehavior in his life, wasn't some fault in his family life, wasn't something that he wasn't accurate with his finances. But the word of God tells us the one thing that they blamed Daniel for and went to the king, he says, this man is praying 3 times a day with a window open to Jerusalem. He's not worshiping the gods of the Babylonian Empire, but he's worshiping on a regular basis the God of Israel. And that brought him into the lion's den, and we know the story how God in a wonderful way delivered him. But let me ask you again, how is your prayer life doing? Is there a regular burnt offering coming in your life? In the temple in Jerusalem, it was twice a day, morning and evening sacrifice. Daniel took it to a next level. He spent 3 times a day in prayer. Now you might say, well, I don't have time for that. Daniel probably had even less time for that. He was one of the most powerful men in history when he was writing those notes. He was the prime minister of the Babylonian Empire and later even had a powerful position in the Persian Empire. But in spite of all the heavy schedules, the business of ruling a nation, he remained to be a man of prayer. There was a regular burnt offering coming from his life, so to speak, a cloud of incense, of a pleasing aroma that was coming up before the throne of God. And it is quite interesting, those two essential points that makes a Christian life, a healthy Christian life, our prayer life, and our time in the world of God, they became the main focal point of this anti-Christian regime back then in Jerusalem, and it will also happen in the future in the way how the Apostle Paul is describing that in the book towards the Thessalonians. Now, there was a third thing that characterized that rule of Antichrist or Antiochus IV or Epiphanias, however you want to call him. It says, he shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. In the time of the Greek empire of Antiochus, it means that he put an altar of Zeus into the temple, and that he was bringing forth the sacrifice of porks or of swine in the temple, something that is absolute abominable for the Jewish people. And the temple was completely desecrated, and the celebration of Chanukah actually is the celebration of the rededication of the temple, as it was made desolate and abominable in such a great way, by Antiochus. It took them actually 8 days to do so. I have here a menorah, or a Chanukiah, I should rather say. I'm not sure if you can see it on the screen, but it actually is unlike the menorah in the temple, which has 7 branches. This one has 9 branches. The middle one is the shamash, the servant candle, And then it is on each side, four branches are going out, signifying the 8 days that it took to purify the temple and the miracle that took place, that as they lit up the menorah in the temple for the first time, it took, according to tradition, 8 days to produce the oil that you could use for the menorah. The amazing thing is the oil that was there just for 1 day was turning out to be enough for 8 days to be lit on a daily basis. And it was a miracle that the Jewish people commemorate until today, that there was sufficient oil supply, a supernatural oil supply in those difficult times when they were rededicating the temple. Now, let me be very personal to you today as we speak about this subject. At that time, Antiochus desecrated the temple with putting all kinds of dirty content into the temple. The Word of God tells us many times in the epistles of Paul that our body is the temple of God, that the church is the temple of God. And how are we doing in that? How pure is our temple? Did we allow some compromise with the truth? Did we allow some compromise with the commandments of God for impurity to enter into our lives? I know it's a challenging time today to be a believer. The internet, social media, everything is full of pornography, full of adultery, full of values that go strictly against the Word of God. How are we doing in those times? The celebration of Chanukah is a season of rededicating the temple of God back to God. And I want to encourage you to use this month of December, if you are a Christian, even the weeks before Christmas, as a time to rededicate your life back to Jesus. To say, Lord, please be the center of my life again. Help me to put away in my life everything that should not be there, all the impurities that I might have allowed to come into my heart, and help me to live a holy lifestyle before you. Make sure, Lord, and help me that this spirit of Antichrist has no power over my lives, but that I resist him, that there is a love for the Word of God in my life, that there is a constant, disciplined prayer life in my life, and also that I keep myself pure from the temptations of this world. And as we do so, I believe that God, wherever you live, you might be watching in China, you might be watching in Russia, you might be watching in Europe, where lots of temptations are overloading every Christian today on a daily basis, the Lord will not only allow you to live a pure life before the Lord, but he also will allow you to carry out great exploits for the kingdom of God. I want you to pray today with me that we rededicate our lives to the Lord as we look at the great lessons that we learn from the Jewish festival of Chanukah. Another blessing that the Jewish people, in a way with this wonderful message of a supernatural supply of oil, is giving to all of us around the world, that God is the one who, even though we don't feel we have enough in us to do God's work, he will give us the extra supply of oil to do what God called us to do in those challenging days. Father, we ask you today, as we come before your throne, and as we rededicate our lives, I ask you for everybody here who is watching today this program, forgive us where we have allowed impurities, desecrations to come into our lives. And help us, like the Jewish people were rededicating the temple back then in the time of the Maccabees, help us to rededicate the temple of our body, the temple of our churches, back to you, that it will be fine, that you will find it pleasing before you. I do also ask you today that even as we are watching this program today, and as people are listening, that you are giving a supernatural and new love for the truth into the heart of believers, that believers as of today will make it a daily practice to study and to research every page of your word. Father, that we become experts in the promises of God and the commandments of God. And finally, I ask you, Father, that you pour out the spirit of grace and supplication upon each one of us, that we seek you on a daily basis, that we will become people who really bring forth a regular burnt offering before your throne with a pleasing aroma, that you will hear our prayers. We thank you that you are a prayer answering God, and we pray all this in the wonderful and in the mighty name of Yeshua. And everybody says amen. It was a joy to speak to you today about the Jewish festival Chanukah. I again encourage you to study the book of Daniel chapter 11, and also maybe you'll study again 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the first epistle of John, where he speaks even more about the spirit of Antichrist in those last days. I believe these are relevant lessons for the days in which we are living in, and I hope to see you next week. Next week we are going to speak about the celebration of Christmas, and you might be surprised to see the Jewish roots, the Old Testament roots that you will find as we are celebrating the birth of Yeshua, the birth of Christ. God bless you until then. I wish you happy holidays, happy Chanukah, Chag Sameach, and also a merry and a very blessed Christmas season. Shalom from Jerusalem. God bless you.